Okay, so we're up to number 12. Number 12 is Pilpul HaTalmidim. So Pilpul HaTalmidim, Pilpul, we learn it. We talk about it as talking and learning. You know, mafalpil, you know, thinking through it, discussing it, kashas, tirutzim, svaras, Pilpul. So Pilpul HaTalmidim is different than Dikduk Chaverim, as we said yesterday. Dikduk Chaverim is more when they are analyzing Shir. Pilpul is a discussion amongst the Chaverim themselves. So the Tiferes Yisrael says the Maila of Pilpul HaTalmidim is the clarity that comes from it and the Chidushim you can develop. Let me just read you his Lashon. My Sefer. There it is. His Lashon is through the shailos and tshuvos that they ask with each other, when they talk and are learning of questions and answers, through that mimelo ravcha shmeitza, the shmeitza becomes, you know, broader and clearer. Degam ayedezes or lekama dvarim chadashim, and it brings you to new ideas, to chidushim, new ha'aras, new questions, new svaras. So it fits in a lot with what we said about arichos v'sayim, putting on the lips. But this is more than that. This is actually being mafalpa with a friend, going back and forth. And this is where you're aiming upon new points. New points in learning really come from, you know, playing it back and forth with the chavrusa and discussing it and getting into it. So what do? You challenge your chavrusa. You know, he says a pshat, you challenge him. Through that, either he answers your question and something becomes more clear. He says a chiddush, which something new comes out from the sugya, or you go back with your own kash and you bring out something else. But that's going to actually increase the learning and bring out chidushim and new understandings. The Pilpul HaTalmidim, so some learn it means before, in front of the Rebbe. Meaning it's the Talmidim being mefalpa with the Rebbe, asking kashas and shir, trying to clarify shir. And it fits very much the famous Gemara in Makkos. So it says, "Harbil mati me rabbeisai, I learn a lot from my rabbeim, me chavera yoser mehem, more than that from my friends, me talmidim sumer kula, most of my talmidim." Because the Pilpul HaTalmidim in front of the Rebbe learns from. The Rebbe has those things in mind he wants to say, but the clarity and the precision of the points only comes out when the talmidim challenge him, and the Rebbe is going to learn from that. So it's not the Talmud, it's don't just be makabel. Your job is not to be makabel, your job is to discuss the Rebbe. Obviously, you know, with respect, and obviously you understand the Rebbe is coming from, hopefully from a place that makes sense. But ultimately, you're makabel it with thought. You want to be able to discuss it, ask questions and share. Go back afterwards and talk about the point to make it clear. So that's just Pilpul HaTalmidim, it's mitzvah the Rebbe, mitzvah the Talmud. The Maharal brings out an interesting point here. The Maharal says that you can compare a Talmud and a Rebbe. He says the mashal that an etz katan madlik is a gadol. It's a mashal, it's from the Chazal, it's a Gemara in Tainus. You know, a small piece of wood lights the big piece of wood. We make a campfire. So you're supposed to start off with little tiny twigs. You light the twigs, and then when the twigs burn, they light the thicker sticks till you actually have had the logs lit. So on the one hand, the big log is like the Rebbe, and the little stick is the Talmud, but the Talmud can ignite the Rebbe. Gemara says, "Af divrei Torah ktanim mecharden sagadolim." So too, when it comes to learning, the ketanim, the talmidim, they sharpen the rebbeim, they sharpen the gadolim. So Maral says, "What's the pshat here? What's the pshat that talmidim are able to sharpen the gadolim? What's the mushel that the little sticks light up the big sticks?" This is a very interesting point. He says that if somebody's been learning for a long time, you have a Rebbe, he's been learning for decades, he's learned the sugya many, many times, he has seven on the sugya. So for him, the way he sees the point is pashut. It's just, this is a pshat. No questions about it. You know, I've been learning the sugya for 20 years, and this is the pshat. Now for the Talmud learning it the first time, it's not so pashut. I mean, this the pshat the Rebbe is saying is the chiddush. It's not the simplest meaning of the sugya. And in the Talmud's eyes, the Rebbe is saying something very, very chiddushdik, unclear, complicated. But the Rebbe, because of his position, you know, in the fact that he's learned it for so many times, and he's older and he knows more, the pshat is just pashut. It's pashut what it's saying. So for the Rebbe, he's going to say it. Okay, this is pashut. This is the pshat. If the Talmud starts asking, So then that's going to drive the Rebbe to have to explain it. It ignites the Rebbe. The Talmud's questions will ignite the Rebbe like the small stick igniting the big stick. Bring out all the steps, all the details that the Rebbe actually had to go through to get to that point. In the Rebbe's mind, that wasn't like the process anymore. It was just, this is what's pshat, because he's a gadol. But Lemaisa, through the questions of the Talmud, the Rebbe has to then backtrack. He has to go through the step-by-step process to get there, and it clarifies the entire Shmaitza. It clarifies the sugya. So that's going to light the Rebbe on fire, to get the Rebbe thinking, then the Rebbe going. It's going to make the learning much more clear for the Talmud. And that's the it's cut in Madlikas Gadol. That's when you have the small twigs igniting the large logs. The Lashon Pilpul itself. Let's go back to that point. So often, like in learning, this time I'll explain a point one more time. You know, we learn things. You know, things have to build up step by step. But when you've learned something enough times, you can skip the steps and you say this is the pshat. And eventually, you forgot the steps took to get there. This is just how it is. But the Talmud needs those steps because the Talmud didn't get there yet, and he has to go through that process step by step to get into that Havana. So if the Rebbe doesn't say out the steps, the Talmud misses it. So it's the Talmud has to start asking the questions to get the Rebbe to be ignited, to think back and say out the steps, so that the Talmud can get understand where the Rebbe is coming from. So that's the saying of that's the Maral. That's the Maral saying over here. The Lashon of Pilpul itself. So Pilpul also means like pilpul, like pepper, right? We know that Pilpul is a pepper. So what's the connection between Pilpul in terms of discussion and learning? Versus pilpil as a pepper. So the Mefarshim explain that, you know, just like, what does pepper do? It adds heat to the food. You know, it spices up your food. So too, the pilpil is going to add energy into the learning. It brings it alive. Now, without the pilpil, you could say the same pshat, but there's no energy, no excitement. When you're able to discuss it back and forth and understand why not this way, why this sort of, that's far, no, that's a good kasha, that's a good teretz, that's a bad kasha, I'll tell you why, I have a rye against you. That gives up the energy, that's the spicing up the learning. And that's like the pilpul spice, that's like the pilpel spicing up your food. So pilpul and pilpel both are what ignites, you know, put the heat, put the energy into the learning or into the food. That's the connection. So if we were to practically discuss, how do we incorporate pilpul tamidim into our learning? This should be an easy one for you guys. What do we do? Very simple. Demir?
Ask questions.
Say again?
Ask questions.
Yeah. Talk and learning. Ask questions. Don't just take things at face value. Ask. Yeah, Levi. Levi, I can't hear you.
I was just thinking about it. I didn't have anything yet.
Oh, okay. So I saw your mute go off. I thought you were going to say something. Okay. Fine. But talking, learning, challenge your Harusa, challenge your Rebbeim, be excited about it. Put some pump energy into it. Just like the pepper into your food. And that's going to bring to understanding much more clearly. And like the first verse said, it brings to Chidushim. That's how far it goes. Let's start the next one. Number 13 is B'Yishuv. B'Yishuv. So Yishuv has a few different mahalchim. The first mahalchim Yishuv is literally like tranquility, peace, Yishuv Adas. That's Yishuv. So what's the pshat in Yishuv Adas? So the Tiferes Yisrael says, Yom Yishuv B'Daito, Lo Mevuhal B'Dvarim. So you are settled in your mind, and you're not Mevuhal. You're not scattered. You're not torn. You're not tarud. You're settled and focused. So, obviously, you can't approach chachma with distractions. Chachma requires slow, careful thought. The very first piece of Musar brought down in Avos, Perek Aleph, is having mesunim b'din. You have to be slow and patient in din. So that's speaking to dayanim, that when they pass in a din in a bezin, they have to take it in slowly and weigh the sides very carefully. But speaking to talmid and learning. And when you're learning, you're supposed to be Muslim, but then don't be so quick to say the pshat. Don't be so quick to say you got it. Think through it very carefully. Consider the points, and then come out with a pshat, with a maskana, with a kasha, with teres, with a svara. Only this way is what we say really thought out. Is it unbiased? Is it clear? Is it real? It's only through taking it in with Yishuv Adas. We know there's a big challenge of learning when distracted. We've all felt it in our lives. There's times we get distracted, and learning at those times is very, very difficult. There's a Gemara in Gittin, at the end of the sixth parak, which the guys should finish last month. The guys who are here mostly did. And it goes and accounts, it lists different milos of Chachamim. And I mentioned this one before. This one always struck me. It says that Rav Yehuda is a Chacham Keshiyirtza. He's a Chacham when he wants to be. So Rashi explains that, you know, when he chooses to apply himself, then he was a Chacham. And when not, he wasn't such a Chacham. So it doesn't sound like such a Milo. I mean, it's like the kid in class, when he chooses to put forth effort, he was good. And if not, then not. The Maariv Tzchiya says a Pshat, which is, I think, related to Rashi, a little different than Rashi. Maariv Tzchiya says that Rabbi Yehuda is somebody that when he wanted to sit down and learn, this, no matter what was going on around him, he could learn. He was a Chacham. Kashir said, when he wanted to learn, he could learn. So that's a skill we all wish we had. All of us, we know we have times in life where we're very distracted, we're very busy, we're very tired, whatever it is. Things are on our mind, and we just can't focus. And we wish we could focus then. You know, we dive into the Kodesh Baruch Hu, please help me focus, and we can't focus. Rav Yehuda had a milu, his Chacham Kashiyirtza, no matter what distractions were going on in his life, when he chose to learn, he said, this is time to learn, he'd be able to focus and learn. That's Chacham Kashiyirtza. It's a tremendous milu. Learning with a clear head is something which is so essential to real learning, to really understanding the sugya. Practically, you know, there's an inyan kviyas makom by davening and by learning too, when possible. The idea of kviyas makom is that if you're in the same place all the time, you're not distracted. When you sit down in a new place, you're looking around, you know, this, I never saw that before, then this new guy over there wants to schmooze with me, I never saw the plaque on the wall, this chair's not so comfortable, where's my safer? That's me when you're in a new place. When you have a kviyas makom, it's the place you're used to. You're not distracted. Kriz yishuva das. That's one thing you have kviyas makom. And there is an idea of kviyas makom for davening and even for learning. We should try to avoid people who distract us in learning. Often you know in the Beis Medrash when a certain guy is near you, you're going to get distracted. You know that. So why do you sit near that guy? Because you don't mind being distracted by him. He's kind of a schmuck. Or that's where I always sit. Or there's nowhere else to go. But it's something that we know is a mitzvah. But it creates distractions. And then once you're not, if there's no yeshiva das, if you're not focused, if you're not settled, then you can't focus on your learning. In life at times, you know, when life is not tranquil, you know, things in life happen, you know, life can be roller coasters at times, and things happen that are difficult in life, and your mind is not focused. We have to develop methods to calm ourselves, you know, clear out our minds. We spoke about a few days ago the Medrash about the Kippah Shel Cheshbonos, you know, this tent outside Yerushalayim where they'd sit and focus for the entry to Yerushalayim. So that's brought down as an Indian of Simcha, but I would bring it down also as an Indian of Yeshiva Das. Now, if you know that you're distracted, make your own way, your method, your own kippah shel cheshbonos, as it were, that's going to help you sit down and focus before you learn. And then you can enter into learning with yeshiva das. Some say the pshat yeshiva of yeshuv in the Mishnah, it means yeshiva. It means sitting down and learning, literally sitting, or some say it means like a yeshiva, like a place to learn. But it's all the same nekuda. Learning be yeshiva means I'm settled. Learning in the yeshiva means I'm in a place that's conducive to learning and nothing else. My focus is now on learning and no distractions. When you're learning elsewhere, distractions do come up. As we all sit down and learn in our homes, you know, distractions come up. They do, and it's hard. If you're sitting in yeshiva, hopefully the distractions are minimal because you're in a place that's set aside for learning. So my inyan of yeshiv is this inyan of yeshiva das, of tranquility. The Tiferes Yisrael says another point also, a very interesting point. The Tiferes Yisrael says that Yishuv could also mean, I'll read it to you, She Adam Baki Bishuvo Shel Olam B'chachmas Tivios Ve'limudios. So he says that one of the Kinyanei Chachma is to be a Baki in Yishuvo Shel Olam, in the world, be a Baki in worldly matters. So that sounds a little bit controversial. It means it's like, you know, you have to like be a bucky in worldly matters. You should read the paper every day and, you know, understand science and math. And like, what does he mean by this? And he says two things. He says, number one, Hem yazul havin haTorah. He says, number one, these things will help you understand Torah. And number two, you will be noyim v'nechba b'ini habrios. People will respect you. So I want to maybe take this and understand both of those points. So he's saying that there's a maila in Keni Chachma of being a baki in Yeshuva Shel Olam in the way the world runs. So the Chachma is Chachma. Now, if it's Chachma and it's Emes, then it's Chachma. Torah is Kol Al Chachma. Torah is the Chachma Kosh Baruch Hu. So all Chachma is included in Torah. It all comes together. And let me give you a mashal for a second. Those who have ever learned Sukkah Daf Ches, so you have an Amud there of Gemara that talks about pi. It's dealing with geometry. So if I walk into the Beis Medrash and I brought out my geometry book and opened it up on my table in Beis Medrash, everyone looked at me very funny and tossed me out. If I open up Sukkah Daf Ches and I do the same exact mathematical equations that my geometry book said, then I'm learning Torah, right? What's the difference? And the answer is there is no difference. Betzem. I'm not telling you to take out your geometry book in the Beis Medrash, but the answer is that in terms of Chachma, Chachmas Emes is Chachmas Emes. The only difference is Daf Ches of Sukkah, you're learning the science, the math, to apply it to a halacha. And the geometry book is math for the sake of math. That's really the only difference. But it's the same exact cheshbon. It's the same exact math. It's just a matter of which book am I reading it out of, the Gemara or the geometry book. So the Kula buzz, the Torah has everything in it. And the Chachma of the world is found in Torah as well. The knowledge of the world helps us to understand Torah properly. Because Torah includes the knowledge of the entire world. And therefore, if I understand the world, I understand Torah better. And I can use the Chachma of the world to understand Torah better, etc. Now, those of you who have been yeshiva long enough know the Roshiva gives mashalim from everything under the sun, in his shiurim. He'll give you a mashal from biology and from math and from poetry and from physics, whatever it is, you'll get a mashal from the Shiva in those areas. And it's not just, oh, it's a good mashal, it's the other way around. It's that because the world, the Torah is kind of the whole world. The Torah is an emes, and if the Chachma is emes, it's going to play itself out in Torah in some way. Because Hashem is one, and Chachma is one. So being a baki b'shuvah shel olam is something which actually helps you understand Torah, because it gives you the tools to understand different yom of Torah, and the ideas connect. There is a connection to the ideas. The Gemara says that a gambler is pasul eidus. So there's two different shitas. Why is a gambler masach b'kuvya? Why is pasul eidus? A guy who rolls dice. So one pshat is an issue of gazela. The other pshat is that he's someone who's not osik b'shuvah shel olam. No, he's not involved in the world. Why? Because we're talking about a guy whose parnasa is gambling. And that means that his parnasa, which he makes, is totally built on nothing besides gambling. He has no clue how the world runs. The world runs based, people, if you have a farm, you have a business, that's a part of the economy. It's that you're helping others, you're getting products, you're giving services, you're keeping the world flowing. If you're making money off gambling, you're not doing a thing for the world. All you're doing is making money for yourself. And you have no clue how the world works. You don't know how the economy works. So you can't be an aid in a bezdin. That's one of the shittas in the Gemara. Because why? Because the pshat is he doesn't get it. When you're bucky in the way the world works, you get it. You understand. You understand things. If you're not involved in it, you won't understand it. How can you understand? You're not going to understand Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, or Baba Basra if you have no idea what it means to make a purchase, to invest, to give out a loan, to collect interest. Chazal made takanas for the economy. The people shouldn't hold back from giving out havas. Chazal understood that they have to understand how things function. And there's many places like that in the Gemara where the worldly matters make a big difference understanding what's happening in front of you on the page of the Gemara. So a gambler who doesn't, he's not involved in Yeshuvah Shel Olam, he doesn't get it. So this guy doesn't get it, so he can't be an aid because he doesn't understand what he's talking about. He's not involved in these types of things. I think I mentioned a few months back, just a maisa that stuck with me, that there's a maisa of Rav Chaim Greinemann Zatzal, one of the Gedolim of Bnei Brak, where someone walked in his office one day and the people who ran the town were laying out to him all the plans for the town infrastructure. Not because they needed a psak l'maisa on it in halacha, but because Rav Chaim had a mind, was able to be toifis how everything fit together. You know, like, where should the pipes go and the electric lines, and what's going to be the best place to put the sewer? Like, he mamish. So it's not that Rav Chaim Greinemann ever sat in an engineering course to understand how these things work. It was that he had a tfisa on the way the world works. I mean, maybe when you have a tfisa on the way the world works, you understand more and more. It's a gedolim is having a tfisa on everything. It all comes together. It's the how, it's the how much, it's the when. Those things all come out from the understanding the Yeshivah Sholem. So on the other hand, this is a topic which does become controversial. The only controversy really is how much time, how and when to devote to it. Meaning the question would be, okay, if it's good to know Banyani Olam, so then where do I devote that time? In what forum? From what book? Those are the issues. But Gedolim certainly understood the world, and they found their ways to understand the world. That's clear. There's a big difference between saying, well, I have to go and sit in college for 4 years to understand the world, or have to take out 5 hours from Seder so I can study geometry or biology. That's a cheshbin which has to be made. That's where the issues lie. That's where the controversy lies. But in terms of the actual knowledge, this knowledge is one of the Kinyani Torah. And when you have knowledge of the way the world works, so then you can understand Torah in a much bigger way. The Gemara says in Shabbos, I mean, the Tiferes Yisrael said that another nekuda here is that it makes you noyim v'nechva b'nei abrios. People look at you with respect. So why do I care? Why is it a kinyan of Torah if the goyim look at me with respect? It's Gemara Shabbos. The Gemara Shabbos says, it says in the pasuk, ki hi chachmaschem u'binaschem eni ha'amim. It says the Torah is your chachma bina in the eyes of the nations. And the Gemara applies that to somebody who knows how to cheshbin out the constellations, tekuvos and mazelos. You know how to cheshbin out the moon and the stars. You should do it publicly so the goyim will see you and respect you. So why is it considered a kinyan of Torah if the goy respects me for my secular knowledge? Like, why does that come from? Yes, the Torah does contain in it the knowledge of science. And it's a known thing that Klal Yisrael had the cheshbin of the cycles in the moon before the goyim had it, based on our Masorah. That's why our cheshbin of Rosh Chodesh is so precise. But why is that a kinyan? Why does that help me personally grow and learn it? So I would say the pshat is that if the goyim are respecting me, so they're not going to stand as much in my way. And number two, it boosts my own self-confidence. It pushes me forward. If I know that what I'm doing is respected in the eyes of the world, so I feel better about what I'm doing, I'm more motivated, I have more self-confidence and self-respect, so I learn better as well. That's what I would suggest in terms of that pshat, the Tiferes Yisrael. But so yeshuv means two big things in Tiferes Yisrael. Yeshuv means, number one, yeshuv adas, as we said, making sure that you have no distractions when you learn, be kovei makom, clear your mind, be able to focus totally when you're learning. Number two was yeshuv osho olam, he says, having some sort of havana of the way the world functions, which itself is also a ma'ala for your learning. So anyone want to give me some practical suggestions for either of these two things? Yeshiv Adas, I think we already said. Yeshiv Adas, number one, I would tell you, is number one, take some time before learning if you're distracted to clear your mind. Number two is Kavias Makam. Number three is staying away from people who distract you. Those three, I would tell you, as very easy solutions to Yeshiv Adas. Anything else you guys could think of? What about for Yeshiv Sholem? In a way which fits the schedule in Yeshiva of Ben Torah. Not taking your time to focus on other things while you're learning, but how can you incorporate yeshiva sholem into learning? So quiet. I would suggest like this. You know, often you do find sugyas you're learning in Shas that touch upon these things. Think about them. You know, when you find sugyas that touch upon economics or science or biology, you know, you can learn Ilutrefus and you've got biology down. You know, you can learn certain sugyas in Shabbos or Sukkah and you've got geometry down. You can learn certain sugyas in Bamitsiyah and you get a good understanding of economics. So recognize that and know the Torah teaching you Chachmas Solom as well. I would tell you that. And number two, I would also tell you that I'm not telling you to devote time specifically for learning Chachmas Olam right now, this stage in your lives, unless you're pursuing your college degree or something like that right now. But what I would tell you is that we often do read things, you know, you hear in the news, you read an interesting article, you look at something in a magazine, and it's teaching you something about the Bria. So Don't just say, oh, interesting. Let it sit with you. No, let it sit with you as something which helps you understand the world better. And that's you can we read a lot of things. We say, oh, that's a cool thing, but we don't really take it in as like, wow, that's the chachma of the bria. I'm not even talking now about nefosa borei and emuna. That's its own shmuz, which also is part of this. But I'm talking more just having it as a tool to understanding the world. But once you have it, and if you're reading things out there which give you this chachma, then I would very much say understand it as that chachma, and understand that I've just picked up another piece of the chachma of yeshiva olam, how the world functions, and therefore that will be with me so I can understand Torah better. Just two suggestions over here. All right, the shkoyach.